Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay for the Straight Wives Talk Show, the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host is Misty Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, good evening, everyone. Good evening, Misty.
Good evening, Bonnie. How are you today?
I'm doing good. This is a special day for me. It's my birthday, as you know.
And my dog just said happy birthday, if you heard that.
He wanted to tell you happy birthday. I really appreciate your dog's good wishes.
He loves you too, Bonnie.
And I'm really happy that I can spend my birthday with our friends who are listening from all over the world, not just in America, but also to our friends in the UK, our friends in Australia, and South America and other countries that write back and talk to us about how much our show is helping them and helping them get through this, you know, sometimes very torching, you know, situation in life. Tonight we're going to be having an open forum, so if anybody would like to call in and discuss anything, please take down our number, and it's area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that one more time. It's area code 646-716-4893. So I told Misty, since we don't have a guest for tonight, you know, we're going to discuss a few things first, and then I'm going to read some of the highlights of the best of my past newsletters, and Misty will give us her feedback on my, you know, thoughts and see how they apply to all of us. But first, Misty, do you have your workshops coming up?
I do. I have one coming up, next month. It will be the second Saturday of October. And basically, it's just another one. The seminars I always keep fairly general. And this one is just basically same of the more, discovering yourself even more and trying to get through this horrendous tragedy. And as always, what I'm finding and getting letters back more and more, regardless of the topic for the Saturday seminars, it's amazing the feedback I get back of how the women thank me for the connection with other straight wives and with someone that understands what's going on. I think I hear more and more about that because, you know, we hear so much from so many women that they just don't get the help when they seek it, sometimes from professionals, sometimes from their church, just different places. It's amazing what some of these women are told, and then they tell us, and then when they get to come together as this group, they feel normal. So regardless of the topic with the seminars and the workshops, I have to say that's always the goal, is to help normalize what these women are, not that it's a normal what they're going through, absolutely not, but to help normalize their fears, their frustrations, how they feel. They usually feel like they're crazy. Just all those
maybe,
things.
Maybe you mean better to neutralize.
Neutralize.
As opposed to normalize.
Let them realize. Well, I use the word normalize because I want the straight wife to feel normal because she feels anything but normal. And that's why
I use that word.
That's why I use the word normalize. And, yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out because I really have to make that clear. The situation is not normal. The situation
exactly is
so not normal. But our women that we work with, oh, God bless their heart, they just, it's so pitiful because they feel crazy, especially when you're beginning of it. You feel really crazy. You feel really crazy for suspecting. You feel really crazy if you find out. All those things. But the common denominator, they oftentimes feel like, they're really, how many times have you heard the straight wife say, I'm going crazy? Almost all the women.
Well, we hear it a lot because a lot of times when you're living in what you call the circle of crazy, when you're living with the whole myriad of lies and deception, it's easy to think that you're the crazy one. Because,
absolutely,
you know, somebody's trying, as I call it, gaylighting you, you know, making you think that you are crazy because he can't admit to the truth or he doesn't want to have to live his truth. And I really do believe in my heart that some of these men are in just such deep denial. You know, it's not like they're really trying to, you know, do something wrong to you. They just can't accept it for themselves. And
absolutely.
As long as they can keep making you think that you're the crazy one, then they don't have to accept responsibility for their misactions.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just so difficult for some men to just bite the bullet and say, yes, I'm gay. And I think one of the issues also, Misty, that, you know, we really don't talk too much about, and this really has to do with gay men making adjustments when they enter the gay world. You know, so many gay men are so hesitant to say they're gay because they picture the gay world as it's seen through the eyes of movies and television and the gay newspapers as being someplace where it's bars and pickups, and, you know, this is not what they're looking for in their lives. So in their own heads, they're saying, this is not me. This is not who I am. Even if I have these urges, I'm not a gay man because I'm not acting like that or I don't feel that way. And so it's easy for them to deny to themselves that this is what they are because they have a wife, they have a family. And as long as they can hang on to that illusion, then they don't have to portray themselves as that stereotypical gay man because that's how they picture what gay life is, where that's really not. Maybe when you're first coming out, and when you're first finding your way around, you know, there's certainly a lot of those, you know, flashy types of bar scenes and pickup groups. But, you know, in general, you know, eventually, hopefully, gay men do settle in. I know some wonderful gay men who have wonderful relationships that are lasting relationships and mature relationships. But, you know, it takes a long time for many of them to even get to that point, if they ever do. And some of them are just so, what I call those limbo men, torn in between two worlds. They are emotionally straight and they're sexually gay. And as long as they have that emotional connection and can't connect to the gay world, you know, they're always going to be living in that limbo, and you're going to be living it with them as they
absolutely
continue to stay in denial about who they are.
Absolutely. It's scary, isn't it, how that, you know, and, you know, one thing that comes to my mind when you say that is they're just, and we may get some bad feedback from this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. Stereotypical gay person in Hollywood is just not really a good role model for many people because they put so many stereotypes on these people that it's just not real. And who can these people identify with? You know, and that's
sure
really sad. What role models do they have that they can identify with? And I know there's some out there, but to mass media.
I agree with you,
Misty.
I think this is where the gay community really falls short in really promoting the positive stereotypes and good relationships that people have,
mm-hmm,
and focusing more on the sexual end and, you know, the bar scene and the meetup scene and, you know, the bathhouse scene, which I think is why it's so difficult for so many men to say this is who I am because they can't relate to that.
I think you're wrong.
So I can see why they would be. I see why they could be scared. You know, they don't want to be associated with that. It's not something they can relate to, and it's something they themselves are uncomfortable with. And that's why I think a lot of times it becomes a form of self-hatred being gay because you don't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these men don't understand that's not what gay is about.
Exactly.
It's not a lifestyle. It's who you are.
I have to agree, and there's just not many our culture, especially our media culture, in terms, when I say media, I'm referring to movies, TV
mm-hmm
shows. They just don't do a good job in portraying that. And I think they really do gay men and lesbian women an injustice in terms of all the stereotypes they do. You know, I have a lot of friends that are gay. I can't really pick out any of them that look like someone I've seen portrayed in a Hollywood movie.
Right, and when you think about the shows that, you know, are predominantly gay, you know, or have predominantly gay themes, like, for instance, you had the, what was that cowboy one that I keep trying to forget?
Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, Brokeback Mountain, right. You know, where once again, men don't relate to that as being them, or, you know, Queer as Folk that was on television, which, you know, has a bunch of guys always in the bar scene, lots of sex involved. So even though they may feel aroused by it, it doesn't mean that they want to be that. So we do need some more positive media imaging of gay people, gay couples, respectable gay people who have normalized types of lives and, you know, are able to adapt to being gay, and it doesn't affect, you know, who they are and what they're doing.
Absolutely.
But until that happens, and it won't be in my lifetime, maybe yours, Misty, because you're a lot younger than me.
I hope, and let's hope that Hollywood's listening to our show when they hear that. Let's hope that.
Yeah, I'm sure they.
You know, these parts.
Well, you know, sensationalism, that really gets the money. So even if they were listening, I don't think it's going to really help.
Yeah,
but
very true. Who am I?
I know. Well, that's why we're always looking for gay men to come on our show to volunteer. You know, I've approached some of our supporters. We have some wonderful gay men out there who seem to feel, you know, afraid to come on our show. But we really want you to give another image for other gay men who are listening, who are on the fence, and for women to have a better understanding of what you're going through. So always feel that you can write to me and say, I'm ready to volunteer. So also we wanted to thank so much our guest from last week, Crystal. It was the most incredible show that we've ever had. And if you would like to have me send you the link, if you don't know how to access it from our archives, just write to me at bonkaye@aol.com, bonkaye@aol.com, and I will send you the link to Crystal's show. Crystal is the child of a gay man, and she just so beautifully and articulately, you know, talked about all the issues that our children go through, and I've received such wonderful positive feedback from Crystal's show. And, you know, this will lead to us starting our own support group for adult children of gays, you know, late teens and early, you know, in their 20s. And we have some wonderful young people who are willing to really join in with this. So that will be starting sometime in the next, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. So if you like information about it, just write to me and I'll be happy to add you to that list or your child to that list. And thank you, Crystal, for really opening our eyes to many issues that we hadn't thought about. And I'll be writing about that in my next newsletter that'll be coming out in a couple of weeks. Also, if you're not receiving my newsletter and you would like to get it, please write to me at bonkaye@aol.com, and I'll be happy to add you to my free mailing list that comes out every month. So also, Misty and I would like to thank... Yeah, go ahead, Misty.
I'm sorry, I have to add to that. Before you move on, Crystal was amazing, and if she's listening tonight, from the bottom of my heart, I have to thank her once again for her courage, her honesty. I know it's helped so many straight wives out there to help deal with the children, hopefully gay fathers as well, I hope, have listened to it, and I know it's helped the children. So once again, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate that, her courage to come on, and if you didn't listen to it, you have to.
It really helped me a lot. It helped me in changing a point of view that I was kind of on the fence about before, but I'll be writing about that in my newsletter, and we'll talk about it again in a few weeks about the importance of telling the children the truth. And I think, once again, as Misty and I have discussed, there's age-appropriate ways to do that, and Misty and I will be helping you find age-appropriate ways to tell your children regardless of what age they are. But secrets do destroy families, and we've learned that so much from the young people who are writing to us about this. Right, Misty?
Absolutely. And what I think the message that many parents need to get is, you know, children are much more savvy than we are when it comes to the electronic age, the digital world. Do not think that your child cannot find stuff on your computer, on your phone, however it is you're sending this stuff, because they've grown up knowing how to use it. I mean, it's very natural to them. And to carry that burden, that secret, please don't do your children that way. You know, just sit down and have that heart-to-heart talk. And I think it's wonderful that Crystal solidified, I think, what 99% of the people I've worked with in terms of women with the children, it's not the gay issue that the straight wives and the children usually get upset about. It's the not knowing. It's the betrayal. So please listen to that, and if at all, you know, sit down and have that talk with your children, and don't assume that they have not found your stash of stuff on the computer or whatever, because children are savvy finding these things. You know, Bonnie, they really are.
And many times they find it before the wife finds it.
Absolutely.
That's why so many of the children know sooner than the wives actually find out, and that's the saddest part of all. They feel so torn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, should I tell my mother the truth? Should I show them what I found? If I tell my mom, is it going to break up the marriage? If I tell my dad, is he going to get mad at me and not love me? These are all the emotional strains that our children have to struggle with. And some of the saddest letters that I've read from children who are in this situation, and now they're adults, and really having difficulty with their own relationships because it's really impacted their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, once again, once we get our support group going for our young people, that'll help to remedy some of the issues. And a lot of times mothers say that my kids are adapting to this fine, you know, they're able to deal with it. And that's because the kids don't want to burden their mothers with their feelings. You know, you can't assume that your kids are doing fine just because they don't want to talk about it. So this is the time for you to have a talk about it, even if you think your kids are doing fine, and say, look, maybe there's issues that you can't discuss with me, but there's a new support group forming for people just like you. How about, you know, getting involved with it? And you might be really surprised at their reaction, that they may need that kind of support and help. So feel free to write to me if you need any information about that, and I'll be happy to give it to you. I also want to say a special hello to our Aussie sisters in Australia. Our support group is really going well there, and it's a wonderful feeling to be able to connect women who really felt isolated or alone or had nobody else to talk to. That's why Misty and I are true believers in support, certainly in person when you can, but if not, at least through, you know, the Internet. And we're having really a wonderful time connecting people in Australia. So if you're listening to us from that country and you would like to join our support chats, which take place Australian time at 9 p.m. on Thursdays, just let us know. Here in America, it's 7 o'clock in the morning that I push Misty to wake up so she can join us in that
Don't
chat.
Don't tell on me, Bonnie. Don't tell my secret.
Sorry, Misty.
That's okay. That's the artist in me.
That's right. Misty's up till 4 in the morning, so that's why she likes to sleep
later.
If
you need that nighttime help, it's fine. That's the artist in me. The artist in me does not like early mornings, and I just can't convince her otherwise. I've tried.
Well, that's okay, Misty, because in another couple months we're going to be starting a UK support chat because
there
we have a lot of women in the UK, and they also need support. And, you know, we have a wonderful support network in the UK through Janice, and we're going to give out some information on our next newsletter about the UK support group. But also the UK is a big place, and people can't always get, you know, to a meeting. So we're going to start online support chat UK time. So we have a lot of good support groups that are coming up. The most important thing is not to feel alone, not to feel isolated, not to feel that you have to do this by yourself. There's always help available. So I think that's enough about support for the moment, right, Misty?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm glad we got that message across. And once again, if you would like to join us and call and say hello, the number is area code 646-716-4893. So I told Misty that tonight, since it is my birthday, I can pretty much do what I want to do, right, Misty?
Absolutely. It's your birthday, so, yeah, you can party how you want to.
Yeah, and I'm partying with my friends from all over who really need support, and that always makes me feel good. So tonight what I'd like to do is I'm going to go back to some of my old newsletters from many, many, many years ago. You know, I've been writing my newsletter called Straight Talk for 10 years now. That's a long time, I know. And I'm just amazed when I went over some of it tonight, amazed in a really good way about me, that when I was reading things that I wrote 10 years ago, how relevant they are still to people today. And some of you have read this, you know, when I send you information, you know, I send you some of my old newsletters. And some of you haven't seen them because, you know, it depends on when you're writing to me and over the years what you've seen. But no matter what I said, it's certainly worth repeating, and I think so much of it holds true today. So I'm going to go back to 2001, 9 years ago, to a really important letter that, you know, in my very first or very second newsletter. And it's really interesting because this is called Profound and Revealing Words from a Gay Ex-Husband. And this is just when I was starting my newsletter. I happened to run across a wonderful man named Jay. And, in fact, I just spoke to Jay last week, pleading with him to come on the show with us, and he's going to think about it. But he wrote me this beautiful, profound letter that really was, like, wonderful that I share with women because I think it makes them feel better. And I'm going to read you a little bit of the excerpt from this. And it says that Jay's first communication to me in early February stated, "I am a gay man who was married for 23 years. My ex-wife and I have 2 children. I am writing to encourage you to continue the important work you are doing. I only wish that in 1996, when I finally began to come out, that there had been resources such as yours to support our family through our transition. So I thanked him for his kind words, and his response was this. I think that both men and women in these circumstances must recognize that there are no winners, but there are survivors who create new ways to relate, maintain support, and redefine their family. In the process of ending my marriage, I lost my best friend and the dream we had of growing old together. Slowly, we have worked to continue to parent our children in accordance with many values that we continue to share. There are many things I would, in retrospect, have done and handled differently, but my single largest regret is that I did not deal with the secret of my sexuality while still in my marriage and in the years of counseling before divorce. So to those men who you counsel, I would urge them to give the woman they chose to love and bear children with the earliest chance to deal with the truth. They probably will not have a marriage together, but at least they will have a chance of preserving the love that once brought them together with hopes and plans for a lifetime. I keep reminding myself of the shame that fueled my own denial and kept me closeted for most of my life. However, I also know the damage that secrets do to those who keep them and would like to teach that lesson to my kids as well. My kids have always been a priority. I can recall vividly my own frustration at seeking advice on how to come out to my kids and finding little support from the gay or straight communities. Of course, I was looking for the right way to do it and assure that the kids would not go off the deep end or reject me. No one could have given me the surefire approach. However, I think there is a real void. God knows there are self-help books out there on everything else. No woman deserves to be in this situation. In the past, I spent a lot of my time researching my own soul, trying to figure out how much of the failure of my marriage was attributable to homosexuality and how much was the struggle for control, neediness, and other dynamics extent in any couple relationship. My ex-wife and I hurt each other a lot. There are still things about her I dislike. But I have concluded that the presence of my secret in that relationship was the primary poison. Much of the rest of our conflicts flowed from it. The absence of trust, the neediness, possessiveness, the anger, and ultimately the conflict that I both created, even if it was not by premeditated design, and used to find the impetus, despair, and courage to leave. Accordingly, as painful as it is to admit, I know that the secret and immutability of my homosexuality is inextricably bound up in all that was wrong in our relationship. Yes, I had difficult issues to confront, as with any person facing difficult times. Some of them I handled quite poorly. I could empathize with your own horror and dismay at how you thought and acted at various points. I share your belief that bisexuality is often a transitional label and crutch used by homosexuals unable or unwilling to come to terms with their natural orientation. I lived that myself. After my separation from my wife, I woke one morning after a date with a woman and was appalled by the self-discovery that I might do this to another woman because I hated who I was and how I was. I was much more demanding about the order around me when I was married to my ex-wife. While I still like a nice home, I find I am less compulsive about cleaning and demanding than those around me to keep things tidy and neat. I believe that my need for external order in my prior life was a way of coping with my own internal chaos and tension created by my attempts to compartmentalize my being. Of course, my discomfort with disorder at home also served to legitimize my disappointment in my ex-wife as a homemaker. If only she was a better wife, we would be happy, was my mantra. Instead, she was disorganized and sloppy, but as it turned out, I have realized if only she had been a man, I would have been more tolerant. Ouch. Who would we be today? Okay, so those were Jay's words. And I said all of Jay's words allowed me to come to a great realization. For those of us who have had gay husbands who complained actively or passively about our inadequacies and faults as wives, I have another thought. And this was my thought. Who would we be today if we had a straight husband? How would our destiny have changed if we were loved, nurtured, sexually desired with passion and tenderness, given emotional support and encouragement, and made to feel like we were part of a real couple in tune with each other's needs, wants, and aspirations? What if we didn't have to spend countless hours each day wondering why we were failures as wives, women, and lovers? ripping away our self-esteem layer by layer until we became strangers unto ourselves and others. What if our husband's dishonesty and cheating didn't change us to become untrusting, suspicious, and doubting wives, forcing us to question our ability to make rational decisions? How many of us were sidetracked through those detours of deceit that diverted us from the direction that life may have taken us otherwise? Bottom line, no matter how much a gay man loves a straight woman, it is not the kind of love that fulfills the basic human need that all of us have. It can never be the kind of love that inspires the music that becomes classics or the poetry that makes the heart flutter. It is not the kind of love that can never be returned to the degree you are giving it. Even the best of relationships are barely more than great friendships, not the passion and excitement that makes us thrive and look forward to waking up each day. And even these relationships are woven with dishonesty, distrust, infidelity, resentment, and frustration. Life was not meant to be this complicated. So that was my thoughts about what Jay had to say. What do you think, Misty?
Well, excuse me. It sounded like you were reading possibly a letter from my ex-husband, and I have to agree with you. It's very pertinent today, even though it's, what, almost 10 years later. Isn't that amazing? These letters are very timeless. And I think it's, I have to commend him on several things. And first and foremost is, you know, how that he realized trying to control his external world was part of what was going on by, I suppose, repressing being who he really was. I lived that with my ex-husband. He was so demanding in terms of housework, in terms of how neat and organized things had to be. And it was to a point it would be life-threatening to me sometimes with the threats I would hear from him of certain things were not certain ways. And it certainly doesn't sound like he's being that. I'm not saying that, but I just find it so interesting in that I know I'm not the only woman out there, a straight wife out there, that has experienced things such as that. So I have to, you know, if I met him in person, I'd have to give him a hug and shake his hand and thank him for saying, hey, you know, this was me. I caused this, and I'm sure I caused some of it on her too, you know, just some distress and things like that. And, you know, that's sad because, like you say, the women, like I call it, dancing inside the circle of crazy, we just keep trying and trying and trying to make things better when, in fact, you can't make things better. It's not going to be better until each people are able to live their truth. It's not going to be better. And the other thing that I think is just so worth mentioning is it's difficult. It's difficult for both sides, I know that. And I just can't imagine how difficult it is to come to them and say, hey, you know, I'm gay. I can't, I have not walked in those shoes. I've just been on the other side. I don't know what that's like. So, you know, I have to commend what he said there, the insight he's had. I have to commend that, and I appreciate that. You know, 15 years ago when I was in the middle of the marriage and it was going crazy, I don't know if I could say that. Today, stepping outside and where I'm at, I have to give him a hand and thank him for saying that.
I think what he said was excellent, and it's so true that the things that bother our gay husbands about us, it's, you know, not so much what we're doing, it's the fact that they're frustrated living with us. So mm-hmm. they look to pick, and they look to attack, and they look to justify their misactions by finding fault in us. Mm-hmm. And I really liked what I wrote about that also, although I hate to, you know, really keep patting myself on the back. But it's true.
You,
I mean,
it's your
I
birthday. We'll let you pat yourself on your back today. Go ahead.
Thank you, Misty. But I would pat myself on the back any day. I really, you know, think that it was epiphany for me after what Jay wrote, you know, that, you know, he, the way that men treat us, who do we know what we could have been or who we would have been? We could have, you know, really moved on in our lives in a much more positive way. We would have been in different places. We would have felt inspired. Many women would have gone on with their education instead of feeling so stuck and emotionally stuck, self-esteem-wise stuck, sexual esteem stuck. We would have been totally different people if we had the right kind of husband who could have nurtured us and partnered with us instead of making us doubt ourselves and not trust ourselves. So I think that's really an important point to realize that when you're going through what I call GHR, gay husband recovery, and you have to refine yourself, which Misty is so great at working with women, at refining, you know, the inner you or the spiritual you, that you had to find out who you could have been or who you have the potential to be, which is inwardly who you are, but you don't even know that anymore. Because
you
it's been so distorted and thwarted by, you know, living in these marriages, right?
Absolutely, and that's one thing that we absolutely always work on. But it's usually not the first session. The first session is usually just connecting with someone that understands, you know, to tell a story, because as you know, it's very healing just to tell your story. But it's so important, and that's a question I always ask the clients is, you know, because usually they're resentful. That's one of the things that pop up. They're resentful of what or who they could have been. So we discuss that. And then that's the great part about the past being your past. Then we look over that, and I say, okay, what part do you want to try out now? What part do you want to bring forward? And what parts do you want to leave behind in the past? So, you know, there's ways that, you know, you can move forward. Is it easy? No. Would it have been easier if you didn't have to go through this? Absolutely. But there are ways to recover. And I like that term, gay husband recovery.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect term because that's what it is. It's, you know, and I'm sure it's recovery on both sides, the gay husband and the straight wife. But it's a recovery process. Nothing happens overnight. But that question does loom. I asked myself that question when I was just first approaching to find the divorce papers. You know, who could I have been? And that's a huge thing that straight wives grieve. I've rarely found a woman that doesn't grieve that.
And I do want to just say that I'm keeping in touch with Jay over the years, and in fact, speaking with him just last week, there were a lot of transitional things he had to go through with his children. He had two teenagers at the time. And they weren't very accepting of him, and he had a new boyfriend and had a marriage in the meantime with this gentleman and, you know, built a life with him. And he said that if he had to do it over again, he would have done it differently also. He was just so happy that he could have his own life as a gay man that he felt the need to have to run and shout it to everyone at the end, you know, and his kids were embarrassed by it in many cases, that he could have handled that better. But that was many years ago, and since that time, it's been 9 years since, you know, Jay initially wrote that letter. His children have grown up. His son just got married. He and his wife have, you know, really made their peace, and both have moved on. So it takes a lot of work, but, you know, there are happy endings where people can move on in their lives and start life over again, and I'm so glad that happened for both of them. So the next thing I want to read you about is a piece that I wrote, you know, back in that same year about, and it's called Get Over It. And I think that a lot of women, you know, go through this. So I'm just going to read this to you, and then you can make some comments, Misty. It says, another problem that many women write to me about is the pressure they get from family members or friends to get over it when it comes to recovery from their marriages. They can't understand why they are having such trouble doing this, and they feel even more inadequate, as if we need more to feel worse about, because it just isn't happening as quickly as other people. I get upset when I hear this pressure expressed from women who are really trying to move past their anger and hurt, but not at the pace that others expect of them. After all, marriages fall apart all the time. In fact, almost 50% of marriages in this country end in divorce. People start all over again and find new relationships. Why are you having such a hard time? What people don't realize is that there are numerous issues that we have to deal with after a marriage to a gay husband ends. Some of these issues are unique and unlike those of women that have straight husbands. We have to figure out what to say to the children and when to tell them. We also have to decide what to tell family, friends, and coworkers. We live in a world where people still don't understand about a gay husband and fear the ridicule we will face from them. There are many very ignorant people out there. Even in this day and age, people say, what did you do to make him gay? After all, he wasn't gay when he married you. We have to rebuild our own self-esteem, which has been sorely damaged through these marriages, by not only feeling the failure of our marriages, but also wondering of how much of a lie we were living. We have to rebuild our sense of trust within our own decision-making processes, knowing that we walked blindly into a situation where we were so misled. Most of us have lost or never had the feeling of what real intimacy means in a relationship. We have difficulty trusting men again and trusting our own ability not to walk into the situation one more time. And this is a genuine fear that many women express. It happened to me once. How do I know the next man I get involved with won't be gay? After all, why couldn't we tell the first time around? This is confirmed by the ignorance of others who insist that we must have known but married him anyway because we thought we could change him. There are other complications as well. There are those women who still feel some sense of responsibility for their husband's homosexuality. They are convinced that they play some part in their husband's turning to men. That's because some gay husbands are cruel enough to say that to them rather than take responsibility for the truth. We have to deal with our own feelings of homophobia. Even if we were understanding homosexuality in general terms, it took a whole new meaning when it entered our marriages and ruined our hopes and dreams for our futures with our husbands. We have to deal with our own feelings about our husbands bringing lovers into the lives of our children, and how will that affect our children emotionally. We have to fear how other people will treat our children if they find out. And of course, we now have to contend with the possibility that our children will be gay because this is a new reality. Certainly straight marriages that end go through emotional upset and turmoil. We have to go through those same problems, such as single parenthood, financial problems, selling the home, and legal tangles. But in addition, we are forced to deal with all the additional issues stated above. This is a double whammy that just doesn't end when a marriage ends. So the next time somebody tells you, get over it, don't feel that there's something wrong with you. Just smile and say, someday I will. Take the time that you need to rebuild your strength. Gay spouse recovery takes time. Sometimes it takes a lot of time. Eventually things will equal out. But some scars are bound to remain, and that's okay. We are not machines that can just wipe away the emotional impact, nor should anyone tell you how you should feel after this disaster. What do you think of that?
Wow. Love that article. And I can even give an example similar to that. You know, I was going through the divorce process in the early 2000s, and I have had people, my divorce, it lasted a long time, upwards of, it was 2 to 3 years. I try to forget that part, but anyway, it was 2 to 3 years, closer to three. And during that time, I've had people ask me, well, what did you do to make him gay? It was devastating. Because, you know, even in this time and this age, people still ask that, even with some of the clients I work with, they're still asked that. And I'm going to bring in religion a little bit here. I consider myself a Christian, and I think a lot of the people that asked me that were people that I was associated through in a church, which was just even that much disheartening. You know, it broke my heart because I think they felt more of like it was a choice, and, you know, we think that much differently, you and I do, Bonnie. And it's just so hard when people approach you with that because you're such in a fog to find out this information anyway. And, you know, it's really a grieving process. And when you go through a grief process as traumatic as this, and I do consider the discovery that your husband is gay, I consider that traumatic. It doesn't mean you can't recover, but it's a traumatic discovery. When you discover that you're completely in a fog, and for someone to tell you just to get over it, obviously does not understand the complications involved in this type of relationship. Very complicated. The layers of complication run deep. It's not your run-of-the-mill divorce. And I'm not saying a divorce doesn't hurt if you're straight. You know, a straight couple, it does, and it can. It can be horrible. But also, please understand, it's really hard to compare the two because they're quite different. You know, I mean, you know that, Bonnie. It's most women that we work with compare this to a death, except more complicated. It's very hard to just get over. It's not something you just wake up and say, whoops, I'm over this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that easy. Some people do get over it quicker than others. And here's what I say about grief. Here's my profound words. You cannot rush getting through the grief process. You can't rush it. However, there are things you can do to hinder the process. And that's where you got to be careful. You know, you don't want to get stuck in your grief, meaning, you know, just keep on feeling sorry for yourself until you completely give up and render yourself helpless. You're going to get yourself in trouble if you do that. Now, you can't rush it either. I've seen some women bound and determined thinking they're going to rush the grief process, sort of sweep it under the rug. Then a year later, they may contact me or they may come back to the chat room. You know, we've seen that happen. It's just not a process. it's a process to respect and to honor. And, it, you know, what we say about grief in the professional world is it's over when it's over. You know,
that kind of leads into my next piece that I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this was also from, you know, back in 2001, and something that I've repeated from time to time in my newsletters, but it says, "Hey, Bonnie Kay, I'm going to be the exception to your rule. Each week I receive dozens of letters from women who are looking for advice and help. Some of them are asking for hope in their marriages, explaining that they are able to accept their husbands' indiscretions and confessions because their husbands are filled with remorse and promises that it won't happen again. I answer them gently, but honestly, explaining that the best of intentions at the moment of confession will not be the way it will stay indefinitely. I go on to state that when a husband is finally ready to reveal his sexuality, it is not unusual for him to try desperately to find a way to keep his marriage together if he is not ready to leave it. Most men don't confess the truth until they are ready to leave the marriage, but some reveal the information in an effort to cleanse their guilt and hope that this will absolve them from their homosexuality. After all, isn't confession good for the soul? A few of these women get angry with me, claiming that I don't understand. Their husbands are good men who have been wonderful husbands and fathers, except in this one instance. They can't understand why I would want to break up a perfectly good marriage when they could get help to resolve one problem, this one problem. And their husbands chime in, I can change. I will go for help and be able to keep my marriage together. And they begin to go for family counseling together, finding ways to work around this problem that will make the couple live happily ever forever. They will show me that my jaded views on straight gay marriages are not true in every case. So let me reiterate this again. I know that there are exceptions to every rule. I'm sure there must be a marriage out there that is working out well, even though I haven't found it yet. It all depends on what you consider to be a marriage that is working. Recently, an angry woman refuted the information that I sent to her, calling me on numerous quotes from the newsletter. She claimed that her marriage was wonderful in most ways. In fact, in one of her correspondences, she stated to me, I think because of his gay tendencies, he has been more attentive, more loving, more sensitive, more compassionate. His gay side has been an attribute to his personality. I don't doubt those words. Most of us fell in love with our gay husbands because they were attentive, sensitive, and compassionate. Another statement she made was, I was a confident, fulfilled, happily married woman, wife, and mother. He did have a secret life going on, but it did not affect me or how I was living. Not until he came out did our lives begin to change, and I sense that they will turn for the better, not for the worse or dissolving of our marriage. I'm not quite sure what this means. To me, if a husband is having a secret life, how can it not affect you when the news comes out? I personally believe that this information means that the life you think you are living with someone is a lie. And not just a little fib, but a totally big lie. If a husband is having a secret life apart from you, regardless of the sexuality issue, how does this equate to something that will make your marriage turn for the better? If any of you understand this, please educate me. I'm a willing learner. She then continues, I take from this that you believe that there is simply no way that you will support those who are trying to keep their marriages intact, even when you say you will refuse to support anyone like us who is determined to keep our marriages together, that you will only give support and understanding to those that are dissolving their marriages. It seems as if you are an advocate for divorce instead of restoration. We are looking for restoration, not devastation. Well, yes, that is true. I just don't know how in good conscience to give support to couples who want to keep these marriages together. I don't know how to tell any woman that she has to try to understand that her husband will always on some level be attracted to other men. I don't know how to advise women that no matter how hard they try to be good wives, that this will never be good enough to stop their husbands from wanting to have sex with men. I don't know how to get women to erase from their minds and memories the information that they have come to learn, nor do I know why I should expect them to accept this as acceptable in a marriage based on trust between two people. And I'm okay with this. I'll take my chances keeping my points of view. I know that there are marriages that are coping through the situation for various reasons. They are staying together because it fits whatever needs are there. They can be there for financial reasons, family reasons, or emotional reasons. And I'm willing to give the support to anyone who is in a marriage like this as long as they understand that I am not supporting the marriage, but rather the woman. The women that I work with are in all different phases of their lives. Although the majority of women are divorced, some are still in their marriages. But those who are in them have no false illusions or hopes. They are physically there because of circumstances, but they are not there mentally or emotionally. I give them support so they do not get lost in an emotional blitz of unreality and denial. Some women just can't make the break at the moment, but they don't delude themselves into thinking that their marriages are working. They are working the marriage because at the moment they need to be there for various reasons. They are wise to the fact that their marriages will never be what they need them to be, and they don't try to make them into something that they can't be. They know that when the right time arises, they'll be able to physically leave as well. Chances are, if you are married and on the mailing list for this newsletter, you know exactly what I mean. Sometimes women are stuck in relationships due to various predicaments. I have a number of you whom I correspond with regularly who are there out of obligation because your husbands are ill and you can't walk away. You are good women who have made a conscious decision to do what you have to for the time being or until the opportunity comes when you can break free and live with your own conscience. But to encourage you to stay in your marriage is by telling you to forgive your husband for marrying you knowing he was gay or to understand that he later came to terms with his homosexuality and it's not a big deal would be ludicrous. I won't do it and I can't do it. As I advise this woman, there are people you can find who will accept this way of life. The Internet affords people the opportunity to search for magical answers and solution that fits everyone's needs if you search long and hard enough that I don't give. There are couples who are living with homosexuality in their marriage and somehow coping with it and even accepting it. And there are all kinds of well-meaning professional people out there who will tell them they are doing the right thing. I am sure that Dr. Laura would advise couples to make their marriages work by telling the gay husband to hold off on acting on his sexual impulses until the children are grown. After all, it's much better for children to be raised by two parents than one, which is not the way I feel when a marriage is a functional marriage. I just don't know how gay men put aside their feelings for 20 years or so and don't act on them, but even if they can, more power to them. I'm sure there are men out there who are trying to do this, even though I haven't run across them. And in all fairness, is it the right thing to do to the wife? Give her a false sense of security that the marriage is workable until the children are grown and then say, well, honey, the kids are grown and now it's time for me to pursue my own life. Now that the wife has invested years of her time building a marriage, she is faced with the same nightmare, only at a later time when she has to start over and it's more difficult because of years of her life have been wasted in a relationship that is ending. And one last comment that I'd like to share with you that offended this woman. I resent being told that gay men do not belong married to straight women, period. How can you say that with such absoluteness without knowing individual situations? This implies all, every single one. That none should be married, period. How do you make such a definite 100% claim? All I can say here is that I stand by my words. Gay men do not belong in marriages to straight women, period, 100%. So that's what that was about. What do you think, Misty?
Wow. Well, there's so many points there. I don't know which one to go at first. So I'll go at one point that I'll pull apart from that. Very interesting letter. The first part is, you know, just so everyone knows, I have worked with women that first time they contact me, you know, they're adamant. They say, I want to stay in this marriage. How can I make it work? And I'm no one's expert. I do take that stance on it. It can be hard sometimes, but, you know, I take that stance if that's what's best for them. But what I will say is this. Oftentimes, I always tell them, I'm very upfront with them. So, you know, most of the women I work with do opt for divorce. Some do stay. And I have found, and the women that choose to stay that I work with, they agree with me, you know, after months or maybe a year of coaching, they agree with the statement I say in the very beginning. You know, of course, it's their choice what they wish to do, to stay or to go. But if you stay, it's usually harder. And oftentimes in the beginning, they don't understand that. 6 months down the road, they'll say, oh, my gosh, you really know what you're talking about here. This is really getting difficult. And when that happens is, because like you said, Bonnie, there's certainly circumstances everyone cannot be afforded a divorce, meaning, you know, I've worked with women that have health issues, they have to have insurance. You know, that's terrible. But, you know, they can't get placed on another policy. And when things like that happen, sometimes they, you know, we work on it, whatever their goals are. Sometimes their goals is just leading a separate life. We work on that or whatever. Because, like you said, everyone cannot get a divorce. I understand circumstances. But I will say, and I think this goes along the lines with what you're saying in your letter, it's the most difficult decision to make, I think it's to say. And it's so hard, I think, on the woman. Because, and I say this, and here's why I say this, I was that woman. I was that woman that tried to make it work, Bonnie. I tried to do that for about 3 or 4 years. I was determined my marriage was going to work. I can't even tell you the deep, dark hole of depression that I got myself into. I was not suicidal, but I didn't care if I lived or if I died. And I thought,
right, if I you're just existing, right?
I'll be better off. And, of course, everyone's not me, you know, but that, I was that woman that tried to make it work, and it didn't. It devastated me. It, the longer I stayed, the more traumatized I became. And, of course, my marriage had abuse in it, lots of physical abuse as well. So, you know, everyone's situation's different. And to get a little creative, I've even worked with people that said, a couple that said, okay, we can't for financial reasons and medical reasons divorce, but we're going to find a way to remain married for legal purposes, yet I want her to live her life and I want to be able to live my life. And sometimes, you know, they'll live in separate apartments, sell the home, and, you know, each of them will find their own apartment. You know, and I can't tell someone what's right for them in terms of things when it, you know, does concern, you know, medical health insurance and things like that, because these situations can get really tricky. But if you have options, I can tell you, I was that woman that tried to make her marriage work because I was determined that marriage was for life. And you know what? My marriage nearly cost me my life.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that does bother me, though, Misty. And I agree with you that not all women can leave at the same time or at the same point. And certainly some women have really extreme physical situations, and I certainly do understand that. But really does bother me when women tell me that they can't leave because they don't want to leave their home.
Oh, and I agree with you there.
I just don't get it. You know, a house is not a home. It's only a building or a structure. And I know that, you know, I've been in bad situations in the past. And for me, I'd rather live in one room, which is a house of peace, than to have to live in a whole big house of chaos. And, you know, I just never quite get it, why it's more important to keep your home than it is to keep your sanity. But that's me.
Well,
anyway,
I understand. My peace of mind and comfort of knowing that I'm going to be safe and knowing what's going to happen in the day, just having a stable day, I mean, it's worth me living where I need to live. And like you said, I think we need to reiterate because some women think, oh, you know, we just need to jump out right now. No, make a plan. Unless you're getting abused, unless your life is threatened, you know, make a plan. If your life's threatened, you've got to get out. Get out and get your children out now. But if not, make a plan. Make that plan and follow through. It's just not worth a home. You know, like you said, you know, a home is not worth your sanity if that's the only thing making you stay is a home.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, let me rephrase it, a house. Any place can, you can make a home into anything. A house is not worth staying. I didn't word that correctly.
You're absolutely right. All right. Well, another article from back then that I wrote about is when there's just no proof. And I think this is something that comes up with our women constantly. 9 years later, this is like my biggest issue from women who write to me. And it says, every week I receive dozens of letters from women who are desperate to find proof that their husbands are bisexual, quote unquote, or gay. On my website at www.gayhusbands.com, I have a section called Catch Him. And, you know, I give directions on checking the temporary internet files. Well, of course, since that time when I wrote this 9 years ago, now there's spyware where you can catch your husband on the computer. But it says, it's interesting to see the various emotional reactions after women confront their husbands with their discoveries. Some rethink their immediate fears and write back to me saying that after questioning their husbands with the information and they were made to second-guess their suspicions when their husbands gave them a perfectly logical explanation, of how these websites appeared. So here are some of the most common explanations. This is when women find, you know, porn on their computers. The first one was, he claims he has no clue how they got there. Someone else must have been using the computer. I mean, we hear that all the time. Excuse me. So in other words, there are gay men sneaking into your home and using your computer to go to gay pornographic websites right under your nose, but you don't notice it. The second one is, a friend at his work is having sexual identity problems. He asked my husband to do some research for him because he's too embarrassed to do it himself. So I said, this means that your husband must be an exceptional man if he's willing to help a gay man come to terms with his homosexuality with visiting numerous gay porno sites. Does this educate your husband so he can be an effective helper? The third one is, my husband said that it's normal for men to look at all kinds of sexual sites. It doesn't mean anything just because the sites are gay. It's normal curiosity. And I responded, I still haven't met the straight man yet who was sexually turned on by the sight of men having sex. Curiosity may account for a one-time look, but not repeated visits. And the fourth one says, my husband said that just because he's looking at gay sites doesn't mean that he's going to have gay sex with men. And I responded, so then why isn't he looking at sites where women are having sex with men? Why doesn't that turn him on instead? Well, I stand by my word, straight men don't view gay porno sites. Consider the confirmation, this is the confirmation you are looking for. You don't have to look any further. You definitely have a problem, or shall I say your husband and your marriage definitely has a problem. What do you think about that, Misty?
Wow, that's a loaded question, Bonnie. And the first thing that comes to my mind when you read one of those responses were, ooh, a lot of the women I've worked with have gone to the professionals before they've come to me, and oftentimes they're told by professionals that it is, it's normal. It's normal to view this porn if you're a man, you know, man viewing gay man porn. And, you know, Bonnie, I've just not found that to be true because I think there's a lot of things that go into play there. If a woman has finally gotten the courage to tell a professional what she's seen, she's probably seen a whole heap, a lot of this pornography on the computer.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think sometimes the therapists or the counselors understand the amount that this person's doing, or maybe they've downplayed it. I don't know. But it's heartbreaking because it just adds cloud and confusion to the straight wife. And what she'll question herself even more. But, you know, there's so many red flags out there. And personally, I don't know. And this another comment is so common I've heard so often is, you know, they were helping out a gay friend. They were embarrassed to look it up. That's a very universal comment, and which I find shocking. I don't find those to be true. You know, I mean, how many straight men do you know that's going to look that stuff up for their gay buddies?
I don't know any, really.
It just doesn't hold water. That it just, as the old saying goes, it just doesn't hold water. And there's so many excuses. I've even heard, which is terrible, but I have had women to tell me this, that the wife has approached the husband. The husband has accused one of the children of doing it on the computer, you know, pulling up some of the gay porn. So,
uh-huh.
You know, there's so many different excuses out there, but if you're finding the gay porn, you're finding it. See that as a huge red flag, and it's not your imagination. You're seeing, obviously, if you're seeing it, you're seeing it. And it is,
yeah, in fact,
there's,
you know,
reasons
some
why
of our
gay
male listeners always, you know, write me notes after the show, and they say, please tell your women that if your husbands are looking at gay porn, you know, straight men do not look at gay porn. It's that simple.
Absolutely.
So,
and you can ask straight men. Ask straight men, do you look at gay porn? What are they going to tell you? They're going to tell you no.
Mm-hmm. And I think here's another really important article I wrote about a number of years ago that a lot of our women go through, and I think you can relate a lot to this too, Misty, from the women you're working with. And it's called The Honeymoon Revisited. I love happy endings to stories. When straight gay with straight gay marriages, some of you also have the advantage of having some happy middles of stories, even if the endings are sad. Of course, these middle stories don't last very long, but while they happen, it's like having a second honeymoon. I hear it from many women. The story is usually the same, so here goes the typical one that I received this week. Dear Bonnie, it's a miracle. After I confronted my husband with my suspicions about his being gay, he admitted to me that he had passing thoughts about men but would never act on them. And now things are better than they've ever been. Now it's just like when we were on our honeymoon, but even better. My husband is being very attentive to me and very considerate. For the first time in years, he is being affectionate to me. He's holding my hand in public and kissing me goodnight every night. And now, for the best part, my husband realizes he is not gay. He has approached me for sex for the first time in years. He is really doing everything to be the kind of husband that I knew he could be, excuse me, if he could just get over those homosexual thoughts and get them out of his head. Now I realize that we can move forward in our marriage with all the bad times behind us. Most of the time, the letters end with, "You were wrong, Bonnie." Sometimes I'll hear a more insightful thought from a woman saying, "I know this is just temporary stage, but I'll take it for the moment." I do want to tell you that these honeymoons don't last for long. Sometimes they'll last a few weeks or even a few months. But as letters that come in later with humble apologies to me say, the honeymoon revisited phase is usually over within a short amount of time. You see, after the husband lulls you into a false sense of security once again, he feels he has you back where he wants you, and so his normal, or shall we say abnormal, patterns creep back slowly, or sometimes quickly. But they always come back. I tell these women there's no need to apologize. I know how I used to hang on to any false hope that came my way, no matter how quickly it whizzed past my eyes. Why do our gay husbands revisit the honeymoon phase? Quite simple. They fear that you know or now suspect or know the truth about their homosexuality, and they are determined to throw you off track and have you start doubting yourself. They are not ready to be honest, so they buy time. They become affectionate, attentive, and start to give you unexpected gifts. They say they are willing to work on their sexual dysfunction. They claim they will go for marriage counseling and in some cases give it a try for a few weeks or months. And you feel good. You start believing that your suspicion about the worst possible scenario is untrue. All those little signs that you thought were leading you in that direction are really something else. Maybe it was just a curiosity phase. Maybe your husband was having problems from medications. Maybe he does have some gay tendencies, but maybe that's from an extra chromosome or two that has been misplaced. Maybe he's learned his lesson by realizing that you're going to leave your marriage if you find out that he's doing his thing. Then you think you were so stupid when the second honeymoon is over and reality hits again. Please don't apologize or feel stupid. I was lulled endless times into what I wanted to be a functioning marriage. I grasped for any sign of rebuttal from my husband and swore I could make things better if only he would work with me on it. Yes, I even had a couple of extra sexual encounters that he initiated in good faith to prove to me that our marriage would be A-okay. But how long could he fool me? He couldn't even fool himself. He couldn't carry out his lies indefinitely, and within a short time, things reverted to where they were, or shall I say deteriorated back to where they were, when I threw out my suspicions. So next time you see things changing, be aware that it's just temporary ploy. Don't get your hopes up. Enjoy the peace and quiet for whatever time it lasts. Use this time to strengthen yourself mentally, because this is not the time that your husband will be battering you down mentally. Recognize it for what it is and take advantage of the quiet time to make a plan to protect yourself and your future. And rest assured, the honeymoon will be over before you know it. Once you understand this, your chances of being disappointed will become one of expectation and much easier to handle. So what are your thoughts on that, Misty?
Wow. Well, as a straight wife, guess what? I lived through one of those honeymoon phases, too. And there came upon a time that I thought during that time, you know, I finally had the nerve to approach him, because any time I would, of course, it was everything just broke loose. I mean, he was very angry. He would just get very irate and become very dangerous. But anyway, I approached him one night, and he told me, "Oh, no, I might be curious, but this is something we can work through." Well, that night, for some reason, he just didn't really go off and go crazy. The next 2 to 3 weeks, it was probably the best 3 weeks that ever existed in a complete marriage, meaning that he was more attentive to me, meaning when we got out of the car, he wasn't 15 steps in front of me. He would wait, possibly hold my hand. We would go to the movies, possibly put his arm on my shoulder during those times. And it was a good, intimate time. It was very short-lived, very short-lived. And it was, I really held on to hope that, okay, maybe he can change. And the honeymoon phase for me was a little damaging. The honeymoon phase for me tricked me into staying probably about 4 to 5 more years. So be really careful, straight wives out there, be careful of those honeymoon phases because they inevitably, they almost always happen. And I think they happen for a lot of reasons. I can answer for my ex-husband of what I think. I truly think he fought being gay 24 hours a day. I do not think he wanted to be that way, and I really don't think he could have ever chosen. If he had a choice, he would have never chosen it because it was hard on him for lots of reasons. His family, you know, would not have accepted him. Our marriage would be ending, you know, just all kinds of reasons. But the honeymoon phase was, it did more damage than good for me, but I can tell you, it was hard. It was hard because I really thought my marriage was going to, it might make it, so to speak. I thought, oh, well, maybe we can work through this. But, you know, I lost my train of thought a bit. But, you know, it's, honeymoon phase, it's damaging. For me, it was, not for all women, I'm sure it's not, but for me, it was very damaging. I stayed longer in an abusive situation that was just became worse. He actually, and I will even say this, he actually hid things better, if that makes sense. He hid what he was doing better. And I didn't know until after the divorce some of the things he was doing. So it was the way of those honeymoon phases. And I rarely worked with a woman that hasn't gone through one with this type of situation. It's very interesting. Very interesting. And like you said, just use that phase to, you know, build yourself up and see what your plans are and see what your options are.
Because as long as you don't delude yourself into thinking that this is reality, because it is just the honeymoon phase.
Mm-hmm.
So the last piece I'm going to read for tonight is a piece that I wrote back then called Limbo Women. And all of you who have read either my newsletters or most recent book, Doom Grooms, Gay Husbands of Straight Wives, know that I've written about a phrase that I coined limbo men. Limbo men are those gay husbands who are caught in between two worlds, neither straight nor gay. They are psychologically straight, at least they think they are, and physically gay. They go through life lying to you, their family, their friends, and most of all, themselves. They don't have the courage to leave the secure straight world and walk into the world that they belong in. They rather just hang out in straight man's land, passing through and pretending. Grrr, sound of a large growl, it makes me angry. The reason for my being pissed off is simple. Limbo men create a whole new category of straight wives, namely limbo women. Limbo women are the wives of limbo men who are stuck wasting years of their lives in unsatisfying marriages because they never quite get the truth out of their husbands. They know that something is wrong. They know that their marriages are lacking the ingredients for success, namely communication, passion, and intimacy. They have loads of little clues that all add up to homosexuality, and yet, because they can't get a full confession or even a partial confession, they are trapped. By the time the wife of a limbo man gives a confession, it's usually a partial, such as, 1, I'm not gay, but I like looking at gay pornography as part of a full pornographic fantasy show. 2, I'm not gay, but when I was younger, I had an uncle who molested me on a few occasions. 3, I am not gay, but sometimes I call gay sex lines because the talk simulates me sexually. 4, I'm not gay, but when I was younger, before I met you, I had a one-time sexual encounter with a man, but I only let him perform oral sex on me. 5, I am not gay, but there are times I think I am bisexual because I look at guys and find them sexually appealing. I would never act on it, though. 6. I am not gay, but when sometimes the thought of anal penetration turns me on. 7. I am not gay, but when I was in college, we would get stoned or drunk and have big orgies where everyone was having sex with everyone. 8. I am not gay, but I have a fantasy about both of us having sex with another man. The sad part is that each one of these partial confessions always starts the same way. I'm not gay, but... And now the wife is more trapped than ever. How can they break up a marriage just on their own perceptions based on partial truths? I have wives that write to me about the extensive research they do on human sexuality. They are looking for my stamp of endorsement for their discoveries that their husbands aren't gay, just sexually different or deviant. It seems that if they can get my professional opinion that their situation is not like the thousands of others that I've worked with, they can learn to cope in their marriages and accept that life isn't always a bowl of cherries. On the other hand, it's not always a bowl of pits either. It's actually a bowl of half-eaten cherries with the pits intact sometimes anyway. These women struggle more than those of us who have given our walking papers, as I like to call it, freedom. Those of us riding the freedom trail may be hurting for a while, but eventually we can lick our wounds and start life over. We don't have the shackles of homosexuality tying us to a husband who just won't be honest with us, or in many cases, himself. So women have the lowest self-esteem of us all because they do personalize that the lack of love their husbands can show them sexually is because of their failings. After they've exhausted every trick known to womankind without any success or movement, they admit defeat. Nothing they do makes a change. No diet, no breast implant, no sexy clothes, no new hairstyle, no new approaches to sexual satisfaction is going to move their husbands into the straight zone. Eventually, they admit defeat, but they still don't understand why everything they try is not working on anything in their relationship. Some of these wives cope by developing their own on-the-side personal lives. They meet some straight man on the Internet who can boost their self-esteem by telling them all the things their husband should be saying but don't say. Sometimes these Internet affairs are lifesavers when women start giving up hope on themselves. Some of these wives cope by finding real-life affairs going outside the boundaries of their morals, religious beliefs, and vows, making them feel better on one end but worse on the other. And still, other women cope by popping pills that numb their minds and lower their libido just so they can keep living in a state of limbo. And so life just keeps moving along, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. Limbo women attend family holidays, friend events like birthdays and anniversary, and office Christmas parties with their limbo husbands. They stand like a trophy next to a man who needs a wife to show off to prove to the world that I am not gay, here is my proof. The limbo wife allays the suspicion that everyone else has about the limbo man. It confuses the public at large who thinks it is able to identify people of different sexual orientation because gay men don't get married, right? Or even if they do, they don't stay married, right? Wrong. Limbo men stay married as long as their wives stay in limbo with them. Limbo women are willing to fine-tune their brains not to think about what they don't have. Rather, they try to focus on what they do have. 1, I have a nice home. 2, I have beautiful children. 3, I have friendly neighbors. 4, I have good in-laws who don't find too much fault with me, namely because you're covering up the family secret for them. 5, I have a companion when I go on vacations. 6, I have a good friend. 7, I have a good friendship. 8, I have a husband who won't leave. That's right, limbo women, he won't leave. He's going to be by your side forever and ever because the limbo man doesn't leave. If he does leave, that means he might be dealing with whom he is, and he really is, and what he does on the side might become front and center. This would upset the balance in his life and throw him out of the sphere of being emotionally straight. And that's the scary world that he just doesn't want to have to face. Life as a limbo man is too easy for him. It's a safe place and secure. You want to know something funny? Limbo men think that their limbo wives know the truth, at least on some level. They think that all the little clues they have been confronted on prove that you know the truth somewhere in their limbo minds. And believe it or not, they feel for this reason you accept who they are. You can accept their little dalliances and dips into that foreign world that neither of you really want to talk about. They think your avoidance of the subject after a while is a form of acceptance. They don't see you running anywhere. and they also see you accepting that marriage can be built on friendship. You've given them the biggest gift of all, the end of sexual pressure. You've learned how to live with them in sexual limbo or abstinence. Your limbo libido has gone off into the distance, either with someone else or out of the door or body, whatever. He breathes a big sigh of relief. You are now the perfect wife. Of course, you are really not the perfect wife. He still finds fault with you because you are a woman, and he is a gay man in disguise. It's never quite the right chemistry. He's never really happy in between two worlds. He's comfortable, but never really happy. And he'll find ways to blame you for his unhappiness. It will be little things that will make you feel stupid. After all, he thinks you are stupid. He thinks you know he's gay and you're willing to live with it. How smart could you be? And so the years will pass. Your best years will pass in front of your eyes. Yes, the best years, those years when you could have been living without a life without deceit, contempt, and sexual rejection. And before you know it, you'll look around and realize that you can't get back what you've lost. You'll never know how far you could have gone in life because you never had a cheering team cheering you on. You will never be inspired to write poems and have love and hope, but rather your poetry talks of sadness and loneliness. I suppose there's a market out there for a poetry of the forlorn. Someone may be smart enough to publish a book on poetry for the limbo women. It's sure to sell a million. And so, my dear limbo women, my heart does go out to you. I feel as if you are walking in the valley of no zone. Not quite here, not quite there. But the good news is that you can move to another time zone. You can join the Freedom Trail and look at life as a new adventure just waiting for you. You can make a decision that you've had enough of limbo land and you want to spend whatever remaining years you have finding yourself in a new sense of enjoyment. You can learn that life can be like a romantic comedy. You can laugh and love again no matter how old you are. Romance is never an age, it's a state of mind. And even though living with your limbo man has dulled yours, you can still take your life back and live it the way you want to. You may not win the battle, but you can definitely win the war. That was it, Misty.
Wow. Yeah, it's not fun being in the limbo. You know, after my ex somewhat admitted, and it was a halfway confession that I won't even go all the way into. It was denied. He just didn't blow apart, the one I was talking about a little bit earlier. Actually, during the honeymoon phase that I went through, he recanted his story, completely recanted it, and denied being gay or bisexual and all that, and it just wasn't him, and, you know, on and on and on. So I sort of thought I was seeing the lot, and then I jumped right back into a limbo situation with him again. I jumped right back in with him, and it's not fun being in that state. And finally, I had to tell myself, like many women that come to realize, if they want more or if it's not working for them, you know, you have to do something. I'm convinced if I would have not filed for divorce, he would still be married to me. 10 more years would have passed. If I would still be alive because of the abuse that was involved. But it was, it's terrible living in that situation, not knowing. And oftentimes you have to realize these men are okay with the situation. They wanted to be married. They wanted to marry someone. They wanted to marry a wonderful, beautiful wife. And sometimes they felt they needed that as a cover. Sometimes they felt they needed that because they thought themselves they could change. And it's hard being in that type of relationship. It's difficult on both people. It's, you know, when you have to hide who you truly are, it's a recipe for disaster almost. You know, it's just not healthy for either side. And not knowing is terrible. But finally, I had to just, you know, pick myself up by the bootstraps, as we say in the South sometimes, and say and sort of talk to myself, listen, you know, why are you thinking these things? He probably is gay, and that's fine, but you have to get out. So I finally had to make that decision to be the one to leave, to be the one to file for divorce, which made me feel even worse because I felt like, you know, why should I do this? Because, you know, he may be gay. But he would have been, we would have still been in that state of limbo if I had not made that move. And as you say oftentimes, Bonnie, you know, if a marriage doesn't work, straight people end marriages every day. But for some reason, I think straight wives married to gay men, they linger for long periods of time. And, you know, for some of them, that's the choice they openly make after the discovery. But for others, they just linger. And I don't understand that because, as you and I both have said, I have never worked with a woman that has falsely accused her husband of being gay.
Absolutely. We always tell women to trust their instincts. So, Missy, I'm glad we had a chance to read some of my past articles from my early newsletters. I think that in 9 years, nothing's really changed. Right?
Isn't that interesting? Those letters are timeless. They still hold true 10 years later. I mean, they really do. They're timeless. We're still working with women going through the same issues that need to be addressed, and it's the same topics that are coming up. Isn't that interesting?
Nothing really, really changes, and it's true that we do get, you know, women who are constantly going through this as a new thing, and, you know, it's all these years later, the same emotional impact and the same situations occur, and, you know, I think that reading these newsletters, I really love my newsletters, I have to be honest with you, which is why I publish them as my book, Straight Talk, which makes it available to anyone who would like to read the old newsletters, because no matter how old they are, you know, they still apply today. And even though sometimes it's a tough dose of medicine to take, because as I always tell you, people sometimes feel that, you know, I'm the tough love counselor because I just don't give in. And I don't, you know, I am very black and white, and I don't find many shades of gray in this particular situation. But I think sometimes people need to hear it. They need to read it. They need to confirm it with themselves that this is where I am or this is where I was. But it also, you know, my book Straight Talk, you know, my newsletters, there's also a lot of letters from women who have moved on in their lives, who went through all these phases so that people don't feel so alone. And so of all the books that I've written, that is my absolute favorite book, Straight Talk. And you can find it on my book list on my website at BonnieKBooks.com. You can order it right from there. And I think that just reading these affirmations of what you've gone through are really helpful. And although I usually don't push my books on our show, I do feel that people will find a lot of comfort in them. And that's what my hope is, to give women comfort, so that they realize that they're not stupid in their thinking, so many of our women just come to us and just say, boy, I felt so stupid. How couldn't I see this? Why was I ignoring it? You know, why was I blinded to it? And I think after they read this, they see that a lot of people are going through the exact same thing. And you can't blame yourself. You know, when you're not dealing with the truth, it's really easy to make that mistake. You live in a distorted world. You know, the thought processes are distorted. And like you say, Misty, you're dancing in that circle of crazy. You never quite know what's real, what's not real.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very easy to blame yourselves for not feeling well. I should have known what was going on. But you can't blame yourself. You are living in the lies and deceit of someone who's just not living an honest life. And it's not your fault. So I think, if you want to read something, you know, to confirm all that for you, my book Straight Talk will really help you with that.
I think those newsletters are priceless. I have to agree. They're priceless, and they're so helpful. I wish I would have had those, a collection of that, you know, 15, 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing.
Yep, and I think it will help everyone who wants to read them.
I have to agree.
Missy, I've had a wonderful time with you tonight on my birthday night.
Well, happy birthday once again.
Thank you. I couldn't think of anybody who I'd rather spend it with than you, Misty, and
well,
all of our
you.
Listeners who need that hope and inspiration. We just want to mention also we're having our November get-together, November 6th and 7th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and there's always room for one more. We'd be happy to have you join us. We're going to have a wonderful healing weekend, meeting other women, doing healing workshops, doing all kinds of fun activities to try to start that healing process moving along. So if you're interested in joining us, please write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I will send you details and information. Misty and I volunteer our time for this once a year. We go to Florida, And we do that to help women through their healing process or to get it moving so they can move through the now upcoming year and feel better about it. So it's just a wonderful get-together and gathering. If you'd like to join us, let us know. So, Misty, any final words that you would like to say?
No, actually a few. I said no, but I will add a little bit. I don't think I gave the date earlier, so I will give the date on the Saturday seminar. I expect it to be a really good one, as always. The October Saturday seminar will be October the 9th, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you want any more information about that, please email me at mistylynnhall.com. I'm just messing up everywhere here tonight, Bonnie. I think I'm getting tired.
What's with this late at night, Misty?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said that's because it's late at night. You're not messing up.
I know. It's time for me to wake up. Are you kidding? So please email me if you want information on the seminars. I'd be happy to correspond with you. That's mistylynnhall@AOL.com. And I'll let Bonnie do the honors of spelling that for me for the Northerners, please.
Yes, because sometimes we can't understand Southern accents. It's not our fault, the Yankees. But it's mistylynnhall@AOL.com. Misty Lynn Hall, just like her name. And also, please visit Misty's beautiful website, where I just go and focus when I'm feeling like I need to concentrate on something beautiful, which is mistyhall.com, www.mistyhall, mistyhall.com. There you can read all about Misty and the testimonials for her wonderful, beautiful counseling work and therapy and coaching for straight wives. And just look at the beauty of her website like I do, and I think you'll find it really amazing. So if you have any questions at all, feel free to write to me at bonk@aol.com. If you need support, if you'd like to receive my free monthly newsletter, if you'd like information about our upcoming support sessions or how to join into them, and we'll be more than happy to help you. So, Misty, thank you for another wonderful night.
Thank you, and happy birthday one more time.
Thank you very much. And Misty and I both send our love to everyone all over the world and realize that you're not alone. There is support and there is a help, and we are here for you. And we'll talk to you again next Sunday night. And thanks for listening to the Straight Wives Radio Show. Good night.
Good night, and love to all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.